You're now listening to the Sports Roundtable. Overlooking Atlantic Station, we just regular guys. Keep the dream alive because it can happen.
Just remember, come Saturday, you watching Lil Wayne on College Football Field.
You know what God said, right? Just started, I finished.
Quarterback position is the only position on their team where there's not a playmaker. All he did was raise his hands up last year after he scored and gave the money sign. It makes no sense.
You're now listening to the Sports Roundtable. What up, what up, what up? Yes, sir. Back in the penthouse. Sports Roundtable guys live. From the penthouse, 300th floor, overlooking Atlantic Station. It's your boys. I'm HM3, your host. And as always, I got my boys with me. Sports superhero, Mr. Hancock. What up, bro?
What's up, man? Where else would you rather be, baby, than in the penthouse?
Yes, sir. And of course, you know, my other main guy, Mr. Slick Money.
What's happening? Let me get it for the girls. Get it. Because they going to get it.
They going to get it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they better not come by here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back in the penthouse, episode number 6. Thanks for tuning in. We got a great show for you today. Lots of information. On today's show, we will let you hear why your loyalty for the Falcons may be on the borderline. Or it could be.
Oh.
Could be.
Okay.
I mean, it's suspect. You know, why are you a Falcons fan after you listening to this? Boy. Yeah. $1 million questions. We got a lot of comments about that last week saying that that was a great thing. And a lot of the guys say they would have picked Lisa Ray too. Mighty Dog picks, of course. My lock hit again. Steve's sponsor, Bud and Them Fashion, came through with a big victory this week for his lock. So
yeah, I got to make sure I stay on top of that.
Yeah, man. I think you got that contract extended, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm going to help him get some more locations throughout the metro Atlanta area, baby.
Floyd Mayweather has been dominating boxing for a long time. We have a did-you-know fact that is outrageous that you just would not believe. Unbelievable. But before we get started, I want to go ahead and tell everybody that shows 1 through 5 been so successful, and thanks to the listeners. If you have not been blessed to listen to one of our podcasts, please go to hm3inc.com. Click on podcast. We have episodes 1 through 5 up and a lot of support. Last week I reported that we had over 550 listeners through 1 through 4. We added one more podcast, which was last week, and we're up over a close to 1,100 plays.
That's right. And if you haven't been listening, what you waiting on?
Yeah, it's
what you waiting on.
It's something to listen to. Gotta listen to this. This is big. But before we get started though, I have to tell y'all something about what happened to me at Quick Trip. I go in and get some coffee one night and I see a midget. Midget what? 3 feet, 4 feet?
2 feet.
I mean, it is what it is. So I'm not making fun of
right, right. We understand.
You know what I mean? So I go in and get my coffee, come back out, and I kind of took a whiff, and I smelled some weed. And I'm thinking to myself, I know this midget ain't smoking no weed. So I got in the car. Then I had another thought. Well, if he's smoking weed, is he getting high or does he get medium?
Okay.
You didn't get it straight.
No, they were too short. I know you got premium, medium grade, and low. No, I don't know.
No. Did the midget get high because he's short?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
But did he just get medium?
Yeah. He probably stayed low. This might be a good time to get high, seriously. You know, the government shutting down. Everybody getting high now.
Hey, yeah, that's awful, too.
That's terrible.
It's bad that.
Weed going to go down. The price of weed is going down right now.
The price of weed going down.
Yeah,
well, it might be in demand. It might go up.
You ride down Bakehead. Everybody out there.
Matter of fact, you should have invited the midget on the show.
I should have.
Absolutely.
I would have asked him the question.
Yeah, the midget probably would have brought flavor to the show, seriously.
For sure. All right, we're going to move on to, I got to give shouts out to my main man, Young Money, Rasan, man. He put that Sports Roundtable logo together. I mean, he just did what he did.
Yeah, it's hot. He did his thing on that.
He made it happen, made it do what it do. So I got to give a shout out to my man for cranking that thing up for me.
That's going to be on the polo shirts.
It's going to be on everything. The hats, the shirts.
Because I need to know where my shirt at. If it's going to be a like that on a polo shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. But
2X.
2X?
No, I'd make it 3.
3?
Yeah.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. We're going to move into some, in case you missed it. Trying to see what's, should I go heavy D? Damn, I'm going to go heavy D. In case you missed it. The Braves will be playing tomorrow in the playoffs versus the Dodgers. And big news coming out the Atlanta Braves camp. Dan Uggla, $12 million a year, will be left off the roster for this series.
Is that big news or good news?
You asking me?
Yes.
Excellent news.
I agree.
And as my cousin old Chase would say, they should have been did that.
No, it's right. I don't know what they waited
on. I mean, but this what this says. They trying to win.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's obvious. They trying to win.
They trying to win. So it is.
What's wrong with Dan Uggla? He ain't did nothing.
Oh, he's batting 179.
That's the same guy that helped him last year and the year before that, right?
What have you done for me lately?
Year before that.
Look, man, he batted another 200.
179.
You remember we talked about Cal Ripken?
Yes.
But the streak continue regardless of what he was batting.
Well, that's not happening with us.
This is the Braves because, look, he went and had eye surgery, LASIK, and he batted 129 after the surgery.
You need to go get his money back.
Exactly. Stephen Curry leaves Nike to join Under Armour as a shoe rep.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was wondering. I mean, when you think about it, and I read up a little bit more, he's probably the most high-profile athlete that Under Armour will have.
Kemba right Walker, now. DeAndre Jordan, yeah, and Brandon Jennings.
Also ran. I mean, they're not also ran, but I mean, they're not household names.
Right, but they Under may
Armour's,
be now.
Yeah, Under Armour has scored a big one getting Curry away from Nike.
Exactly.
You know, I must have paid him a pretty good amount, because normally Nike keeps those athletes.
It keeps the superstars.
Even if they stay under the Jordan brand, they normally keep those type
absolutely
athletes.
Absolutely. That's big news. You know. Good, you know, all good for the Curry family. Lane Kiffin got fired at the airport. USC coach. You need that slick.
Yeah, I need to get that applause going, if y'all don't mind. No, I mean, everybody needs to have a job. But Lane will be able to get a job, seriously. If it's at the local Walmart, he get hired somewhere.
Look, man, my thing on Lane Kiffin.
Come on now.
I mean, nepotism, it's good to be, you know, just born into that type of thing. Right. I mean, he had 3 high-profile jobs.
High.
The Raiders, Tennessee Vols, then he goes to USC and hadn't done anything. You know, the best thing, the best thing you say about him is that his wife looked good at the press conference.
Wow.
And that's pretty bad when you talk about his.
Yeah, I didn't see his wife. Oh, he should have took a picture.
Yeah, they took enough of her. But what I'm saying is that's the only claim to fame that he has.
She's going
to
stand by her man. That's what they do. But he was never a good coach. Exactly. I thought he was a good recruiter. He held on to his dad name forever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that opened the doors for most people.
Yeah. Right.
My dad got a good name, but I work at Mead. You know, so it just depends on who you are.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's good to be privileged.
Absolutely. It's a gift.
Atlanta Hawks starting their training camp this week in Athens, Georgia.
What for?
But how long?
They got to put a team together.
But you know what, though? I think, man, you talked about this, Hancock. That they go have a gritty team.
Yeah, it'll be gritty.
They go be grits, and they go be gritty. They go play hard. And I'll be remiss without mentioning Adonis Thomas, y'all homeboy from Memphis.
Yeah, Memphis boy. From what I gathered and what I saw, I'm a pretty good mid-range player. Not real explosive. Good around the basket. Has pretty good footwork from what I saw. I kind of looked at a few things on today since I knew we were going to mention and talk about him. I didn't see anything that stood out flashy, but I don't think you'll have much flashy with the Hawks anyway.
Right.
And he'll fit in that way. I'm just worried about him having all the same type players.
Right, yeah.
Nobody to stretch the floor. Well, I mean, the kid from Vanderbilt and
John Jenkins and Korver.
Is Korver still out there?
No, he's signed back.
Okay, so you do have those guys stretching the court, and hopefully you get
Lou Williams back. At some time, which is they don't have a timetable on that.
But that's the thing. Everybody's pretty much the same height. You got a Louisville Cardinal team, but back in the day with Scooter and Rodney and all them, everybody the same height. And they were
interchanged. Or the Illinois team with Kenny Battle and
that type
Nick
team.
Anderson and things of that nature. So again, you don't like the Hawks?
They're okay, but I mean, Steve just said it. They the same.
All of them
the same. Everybody's the same. That's been the MO for the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Same size, same players. Everybody do the same thing. So.
Yeah, and that was my point on staying in that same level every year, not being too good, not being too bad. Right. So you're not bad enough to get good through the draft, and you're not good enough to add a piece to help you get better. So my thing on it would be I would have blown it all the way up. I would have seen what I could have gotten for Al Horford. You know, and just blown it up this year, try to get in the lottery and try to get a pick because that's what you need here. You need somebody that the people want to see, for one thing, and somebody to build around. Don't have it.
Andrew Wiggins.
Exactly. I would have blown it up.
Andrew Wiggins. That's it.
Okay.
I mean.
Wiggins, somebody. I mean, one of the players that, you know, we hear a lot about, the boy from Duke, somebody. I mean, you need somebody.
We hope he stays.
Kentucky player, somebody. I mean, you needed something
to hang your
hat on, and we don't have it.
UGA got a big win against LSU this weekend, despite Gurley going down with a leg injury. Good, I guess. Mark Rick saved his job again.
I don't know if he saved his job. That was a good win. But what I was so impressed about was, did you see the interview after the game?
Oh, he was tearing up?
He cried. He wasn't tearing up. He started crying.
Right.
And to see him do that, he got respect from me. Because, I mean – he's just been one of those coaches that just was okay with just winning 8 or 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Georgia might win a little bit more this year. I that was impressive to beat LSU and South Carolina in like 3 or 4 different weeks. No, 3 week span.
Right.
It's pretty impressive. And for him to talk about the two quarterbacks like that.
Right.
And to see him tear up out there the fourth game of the season, really?
Yeah, but
he just got a hole in the road now. They played the tough part of the schedule.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think they've played one of the better schedules in the nation this year, and they've come through smelling pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, the Clemson loss really is not that bad when you look at it because they went to Clemson and played well.
Yeah. And Clemson should run the table. They should stay high.
And Clemson keep winning. Yeah. So that's going to help
right.
Georgia.
Yeah. They'll have one obstacle at the end of the year, and we all know what that is.
Yeah.
But Georgia do play Tennessee this week, right?
Yeah.
That's why you guys
are holding the road, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to have to call Mark Rick and tell him don't run the score up on my home.
No, they won't. That's Georgia. Yeah. Georgia will not run the score up.
But, Steve, they need to run the score up because I know they don't, but these – It's just like the Falcons, those type teams. You got to know when you got your foot in their throat.
But those, you mentioning the teams in Georgia, that's what we talk about all the time. And you talk with the Falcons, you talk about Georgia, you talk about Georgia Tech.
Right.
They're all flawed. They don't have that smash you mentality.
Right.
They don't do it. Every week, you'll see it. They'll play down to the competition. But, I mean, that goes around. You always talk about it. We talk about the college teams every week having to get up and then next week
they
down.
Emotional, they just broke up with their girlfriend.
Exactly.
And their mama didn't send them no spending money.
Tennessee has nothing to lose.
Right.
Right. But they need to get out the bus and find the closest person from Tennessee and slap them.
You've been in that stadium when it's rocking. The whole stands sway. Yes, they're going to have 105, 107,
Rocket
whatever it is.
Top.
Rocket top, I'm telling you.
You don't want to hear Smokey Bog.
Georgia will come out. They'll come out with the win. But I'm telling you, I don't think Gurley's going to play. I wouldn't play him anyway.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be a tougher, closer game than people think, but I think Georgia will pull away at the end.
Quick comment. Alabama smashed Ole Miss after Bo Wallace, the quarterback for Ole Miss, ran his mouth saying that Alabama don't have in the first round cornerback that we can score on them. They ain't got no first round cornerback. Check this out. Nick Saban took it to heart and started a freshman. Hello.
But what do I always tell you? Don't what we said about when they were talking, Dwayne Wade last week. Don't tug on Superman.
You have
to just whistle past the graveyard sometimes. Yeah. You don't know what's coming out of there. You don't know zombies. Leave him alone.
That was impressive.
I told you that
was because Ole Miss can score.
Ole Miss may cover.
I told you Alabama would put the hammer on them. I knew they would. Yeah. They're Ole Miss is right now about a year or two ahead.
They're a couple
of
years away. That was impressive not to allow them to score.
Because they got
a nice offense.
I wish I had that sound.
But see, what I always tell you about, you can't play Bama if you don't have a joker.
You're right.
And they don't have a joker. See, that's the thing. They keep talking about Alabama's defense is down. They're not down. They just played against a joker. They had played against a wild card.
Exactly.
Johnny Football is different.
Steve, you know who a wild card I think would be good against Bama?
Who?
That boy from Stanford can play.
He can play.
He's real intelligent.
We're going to talk about Stanford coming up down the line.
He's a good, intelligent quarterback.
We're going to talk about Stanford, so hold your thoughts on that.
Okay.
Speaking of Alabama, we're going to have a special guest come in next week to give us the inside information on why Nick Saban will stay. Can't wait to hear that.
Hope he got his
inside information.
I hope he got some.
Only on the Sports Roundtable, baby.
I definitely want to hear that.
That's what's up.
Because I think it's 10 million reasons down in Texas that he might leave.
All right. Well, make sure you write your questions down. We'll get them up. Please tune in next week as we have an insider telling us why Nick Saban will or will not leave Alabama. So stay tuned for that. Here's your Did You Know fact of the day. Floyd Mayweather is 45-0. Fact. Floyd Mayweather has only had two judges' scorecard not in his favor during his career.
And I mean, you can take that with a grain of salt. I'm not sure about the first one, Oscar De La Hoya. Maybe that was legit.
Right.
We all know the second judge, the second fight. That was not legit. He should only maybe have one judge that wasn't in his
fight. Well, let me go ahead and tell him. 115-113 card in favor of De La Hoya when he fought him. And Alvarez was a 114 even in his last fight.
He completely outclassed Alvarez. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Right.
I mean, Floyd right now has dominated his sport like Tiger used to dominate his, like Jordan dominated his. You know, you have certain guys that come into their sport and you're already pretty much beat when you come into their arena. There's nothing you can do about it. And at this point, there's nothing anybody in his weight class can do with him. I think Floyd he can solve any problem in the ring right now.
No, well, tell us this. Explain to people essentially who don't watch boxing, who's not a boxing fan,
mm-hmm.
of what this fact actually says in layman terms.
It means that, like I said, when the fight starts, pretty much, you have no chance. I mean, to look at it, when a judge, you have three judges per fight.
Per fight.
So we look at, what's that, 3x45, 120, 15, what is that, 135?
Something like that.
Okay, out of all these judges, only two saw where he didn't win a fight.
Wow. Only two.
Only two.
One was a tie. That's the one we hollering
right,
about.
Right, where he didn't win the fight. But still, I mean, just to dominate the way he dominates. I mean, he's now, you know, he got flack for not fighting anybody. That's what they wanted to say.
Right.
He had all these detractors about him being this arrogant, whatever person. But, you know, that goes along with when you great like that, you become arrogant. That's what we always say, right, Slick? You just dominate. There's nothing people can do to you, and you feel invincible. And pretty much he is.
Hey, I ain't no doubt about it.
I mean, Floyd, now.
It's going to be devastating if he don't fight Pacquiao.
But that's over. I mean, because now I think with him calling Pacquiao out about the steroids yeah. and you could see, you know, this is my view. If you look at Pacquiao's last two fights after – you know, Floyd came out pretty much saying, you're on something.
Yeah,
his body shape changed.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at this. I mean, Pacquiao probably started fighting at around 85 pounds.
Right.
And over the year, he's gone up to fight at his highest weight by 147 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, I put on weight out of high school, but it's a different kind of weight. You know, this dude put on weight and it was muscle mass. You can't do that without some help. I don't care what they say. It doesn't work like that. That goes for Evander Holyfield and all these people that went up 3 and 4 and 5 weight classes. It doesn't work like that.
Doesn't work like
that. Nah, he got some help.
I got you.
He got some help.
All right, we finna move on. I'm about to expose the Falcons right now. I have to let y'all in on something about the Falcons. 1-3. Well, let me just do it like this. I'm going to play 2 clips. And you tell me, who would you rather play for?
Okay.
All right? Check this out. This is Mike Smith Monday morning after playing Sunday night.
Well, I hope everyone's slept fast last night. We finished the first quarter of the season not like we would like to have finished it. We obviously didn't get the outcome that we wanted in the ball game last night. And we've got to flip our focus to ourselves. We've got an extra day this week starting tomorrow. We'll practice Falcons on Falcons. And the emphasis will be on some of the deficiencies that have shown up in our first 4 games. And with that, I'll open it up for questions.
Are you serious? Deficiencies for the first 4 games? How about the last 7 games, the same deficiencies that you've had last year? Now, let me play this. Let me do this one. Let me do one better for you.
Yeah, do something, because that was like watching paint dry. That's boring. That's nothing.
Okay.
Well, not watching paint dry.
Watching grass grow. But all right, you ready for this?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
So now remember, who would you rather play for?
Okay.
All right.
I'm with you.
We're not going to make any excuses. We're going to chew everything that we got coming, obviously. But more importantly than that, we're going to focus on getting better. That's what's going to change the outcome of these football games. And those that don't ain't going to be a part of us. I have great patience. We'll continue to work and get better as long as I see belief and effort and continued improvement in detail, because that's what's going to change the outcome of these games. If I don't, they ain't going to be a part of it, whoever it may be. It's just that simple.
That's Mike Tomlin.
You didn't have to say his name.
Well, for the people who don't know, that is Mike Tomlin, head coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Shout out to Autumn Hill. They 0-4.
Did you hear what he said?
Did you hear what he said?
He did not try to be nice. He didn't try to be proper. He didn't say they're not going. He said they ain't going to be part of this team.
No matter who it is.
He went straight hood.
So this is my question, though. You heard Mike Smith press conference.
Yes.
And we're 1-3, we as being the Falcons. Pittsburgh is 0-4. What's wrong with these tell me what's wrong with that. You heard it. Well, Everybody heard that.
Well, Tomlin is fighting with one hand tied behind his back.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much the Falcons got some deficiencies too. But when you look at the teams, the ones that really are in trouble, Pittsburgh's in trouble.
But he
is not going to let them quit.
Exactly. He ain't slick. What's going on, man? I mean, you heard that.
Yeah, according to the conversation I both heard, it's like Mike Smith is on the island. He don't care if he get off the island.
Okay.
Tomlin's on the island, and he going to find a way to get off the island.
Exactly.
If he got to send a smoke signal, swim across, he going to do something. But I just think that's the Falcons organization.
That's the Atlanta whole thing. That's their whole – that's everybody.
But I think – I know you're paying these guys a lot of money, and if they're not getting the job done, I'm going straight to the practice squad.
Well,
I'm going to let it be known to my starters. Look, it's either me or you. And they normally get rid of coaches instead of players. So I just think the Falcons just ain't – they ain't mean. And Steve said all the time, they're just not tough.
Let me add insult to injury. Let me put a little salt on his wound. Lamar Holmes admitted to ESPN that he's out of shape.
Dude, the first part of the season, he's gone through training camp, done all this, and he's still out of shape.
He admitted it that he's out of shape. Now – they say he spent more time in Matt Ryan's lap than Matt Ryan's wife.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sam Baker got hurt,
mm-hmm.
came out the game. Lamar Holmes had to come in. The very next play, he's in Matt Ryan's lap. Awful. To add to that, this is where the problem comes in. Pittsburgh, 0-4. They have offensive line problems.
Correct.
Baltimore.
And running back problem.
Well, Bell is pretty good, but they go fix that. Though, right. They're going to fix that.
Just getting in.
Flacco just threw 5 interceptions. They got offensive line problem.
Yes.
Guess who signed 2 offensive linemen or made trades today for offensive line?
The teams that won't get better, Pittsburgh and Baltimore.
Pittsburgh traded for Levi Brown in Arizona, and Baltimore traded for offensive tackle for at the Jaguars.
Right.
Did the Falcons make any move?
Not one.
Do they have offensive line problems?
Yes, they do. And they will continue to have them.
So my point is this. If you're a Falcon fan, after listening to the press conference, after listening to your head coach say what he just said about the last 4 games and deficiencies, how about since last year, December the 16th,
mm-hmm.
it's the last time they played a full game and they beat the Giants 34-0.
Right.
At the Georgia Dome, every game after then, it has come down to one drive at the end of the game.
Right.
The hardest job in Atlanta right now is to be a Falcon fan, because they must have a connection or some tied in with the hospital, because they got everybody in Atlanta blood pressure up every week.
Well, I want you – can you hear that? Can you hear that sound? That sound is window closing. Because you only have a certain amount of time to win a championship.
Well,
and hey, that window is getting smaller and smaller with the Falcons.
I think the beauty of this for the Falcons is their next 3 games. They can go over 500 these next 3 games. I think they play Tampa. They play Jets, Tampa, and Arizona, which are going to be in a dogfight because those teams are trying to get better too.
Right.
But if they win all 3 of those games, they go 4-3. And they can salvage the season,
yeah.
And finish like 10-6, and you know, but they on the outside looking in, because right now it's 2 other teams going in. You're talking about Seattle and San Francisco going to get in.
Yeah, they three games behind in their division. So we
forget the division, but you got Chicago and Detroit, them 2 coming out looking like.
You got 1 team out of the East, NFC East.
So they're going to need some help from Chicago or Detroit, or they're going to need some help from San Francisco or Seattle.
I think Chicago and Detroit both getting in, I think.
Yeah. Okay, but then you got to look at Seattle and San Francisco.
Because you have 3 teams out of there, because Green Bay there, too.
Green Bay there, too.
So you at least get 2. I think you get 2 out of that division.
Right.
So that's what make the Falcons on the outside looking in.
Right.
Because they need to win these next 3 and have some favors, some things go their way.
Well, this is the thing. They go need a mental mindset makeover. Because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. Right. And that ain't happening.
Nah.
So until they fix themselves, they're not going to do anything.
But listen, can I talk about the elephant in the room?
There's one in here.
And my thing on it is, and this is me and you, we talked about it, and you know what I'm talking about, is that $100 million contract. Look, my point on it is you could have waited or you could have paid Matt Ryan a little bit less and gotten better.
Right.
Because you needed offensive line help. You needed defensive line help. You can't put any pressure on the opposing team quarterback. Okay? You hit pretty much gold with these two rookies because they're playing above their heads right now on the outside. They're playing pretty good.
Right.
But you could help them more if you had Abraham and OC. See, you didn't add to what you had. Pretty much you had a wash by bringing OC in and getting rid of Abraham.
And then you lose Bierman.
And Bierman's lost for the year. You counted on him. But my point was you could have used the money to get your team better to protect Matt Ryan. What's wrong with making $90 million or $80 million? My point on it is you had more money to spend.
Right.
And, you know, I know we always talk about, you know, just because he got paid, he shouldn't have more pressure. But, yes, you should, to me.
Right.
You should have more pressure on you because I'm putting all my eggs in your basket. So if I'm saying I'm not going to spend money to protect you or whatever, I want the same criticism of him that I hear about every other quarterback. But see, he doesn't get criticized. I've heard different radio shows and talking heads say that it's because of the line he didn't get it out. But I hear other quarterbacks say they hold the ball too long. Well, what's the difference? I can't understand that. Why can you – the same thing you make excuses for Brady when he goes off on people on the sideline, you say he got fired. When Cutler does it, he's a crybaby. It's about who you like and what you want to say at that time.
Right.
These Babe the boys, they take care of them, mm-hmm. and they don't hold them accountable.
Right.
Matt Ryan needs to be held to the fire. He missed some passes the other day.
Oh, ain't no doubt. Absolutely.
He's getting $100 million. Those passes are more glaring. They come out now. You can't miss that pass when you're a $100 million quarterback. You can't let Tom Brady come in here with nobody on the outside. No players. They're vulnerable right now. The Patriots are at their lowest. And they came into your house and beat you. When I pay you $100 million, it falls on your head. I'm sorry, it does. Whether they want to agree with it or not, you are the leader of this team. You need to get in folks' butt. You need to do what you have to do. And I don't see that from him. The only time I've ever seen an emotion was when he stood on the sideline with that fake emotion hollering about, get off my field when they beat Carolina at the end of that game. That's the only time I've ever seen any emotion out of him. But he doesn't chew on anybody. I don't know what he does behind closed doors, but they don't say like he's a leader like that. But they talk about him being the next Tom Brady. I don't see it.
Well,
that's
just something to talk about. And maybe they start. Maybe to me, in my opinion, it's from the top coming down. If ain't nobody making them do it, if it's okay, then it's just gonna be okay. Which is sad. I
want leaders.
The Falcons fans shouldn't be upset because they've been doing this for a while, isn't it? And it's been the recipe for the last 20 years.
Yeah, it has.
So how do you? I know it'll change when the new dome go up. Maybe the new penthouse or the new facility, and they will have a different outlook. Because to me, if you're an Atlanta fan, how can you be mad? Because you should be used to this.
Yeah, well, I know. I'm not really I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
My team is horrible right now, but we don't talk about them.
It's on you, Master.
I'm angry and upset because it's false hope. You know,
what would you have done, man? You heard me with my tire. What would you have done? Would you have signed him for that amount of money needed other things?
Well, no. My thing is there's not ever been a $20 million quarterback that win a Super Bowl. Never.
Hey, how's it make
sense? You somebody to get the money afterwards?
Right.
Okay, I got it.
Every $20 million quarterback has already won.
Thank you.
Well, why do you call it false hope?
Well, because it's like we going to be this great organization now that we got Arthur Blank.
Changed the organization.
Well,
around.
Yeah, right. But it's,
can't knock him for that.
No, I'm not knocking him for that. Okay. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is don't get halfway to where you're trying to get to and stall.
Okay.
That window.
Okay, but Steve, I would have never got Steven Jackson, man.
To pick it first, but you're right.
He's for the last 5 years, he's done the same thing. Give you about
missed the first six games.
That's what I was worried about.
Why not get a dude from Jackson State that you ain't gonna pay a lot of money for and just give him the ball till he get tired of carrying it?
Yeah, you could have got LeGarrette Blunt to do what he did. Well,
that's my whole point.
Well, you got to get some big greases in the, up in the front.
But what I'm saying, I never would have signed Steven Jackson.
What I'm saying is there would have been money to get them big greases you could have got.
If the mindset ain't set that way, they wouldn't have never got.
Thomas Dimitroff is one of the greatest GMs
in the world. He had proved it.
Steve, didn't
Falcons. Well, early he did. But see, what happened was he hit on all those draft picks right after the Mike Vick problem.
Right.
His draft picks hit, and they were great. And then he made the Julio Jones, and he looked like a Hall of Famer to be. But you have to have some other substance around that. And I always tell you, to me, you got to be good close to the football, meaning your offensive and defensive lines have to be good. I can get a good running back in the fourth, fifth round if I got a good line in front of him. I don't need Adrian Peterson if I got a good line.
Let me say this, and then I know we need to move on. When you look at organizations like the Patriots organizations, they have a tendency to get guys in the sixth, fifth, and seventh round.
Or free agents.
And they produce.
Right.
So why that can't happen here? I go to my starters and say, look, guys, y'all not getting it done. So those guys we drafted sixth, fifth, and fourth round for the last three, 4 years, it's time to play them dudes.
I agree with you.
And I'm taking my chance. Because if we losing – I'd rather lose with those
dudes
that
go fight.
That's fighting, you know, going to spit you in your helmet and, you know, get a penalty every now and then. You know, right. That ain't what's happening.
You're tying your hands with these big contracts, though. That's what I'm saying. Steven Jackson contract.
Should have never got Steven Jackson. I've been saying that. Should never got him. He stay hurt. He going to miss six games every year. Who want a player that's going to miss six games?
Yeah.
I would have just went on the little boy. What's the boy at that backfield now?
Jacquez Brown.
Let him touch the ball 50 times.
Another boy run the ball good.
Just let him touch it. Yeah. Yeah. Get that boy that money.
I mean, they're running backs that you could have gotten.
Yeah.
You know, Steven Jackson. But see, that's the thing with the Falcons. Thought they were maybe one piece away, and they did. To me, you didn't look. You lost a tackle, who you counted on last year.
And the center.
You lost your center.
He retired.
Right. So, but you went out and got a running back. So who gonna block for him? That's the point. And then you spend all your money on one player.
And Akeem Dent got to be the worst cover linebacker in the history.
Akeem Dent, Thomas Dekou, and what's the other boy? Willie Moe. Willie Moe going to get you.
All out of position.
What happened? What did I tell you? In every sport, you need to be good up the middle.
Up the middle.
And that's whether that's baseball, basketball, football. You need to be good up the middle in the center some kind of way. And they're not. And I watch. The Jets going to come in here, and they're going to run the football.
Up the middle. You right. All right, let's move on, man. I'm sure everybody got a kick out of this Falcons. All right, we in our roundtable discussion, and we're going to discuss the read option versus the no huddle. The read option has been the ongoing thing now.
Yeah, super du jour.
RG3, Russell Wilson, Kaepernick. They are all read option quarterbacks. No huddle quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, and Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I think everybody runs a form of no huddle now.
Right. So my question is, which offense is going to last in the NFL? What offense is going to last?
I think the West Coast, is this considered the West Coast offense?
What, you talking about the read option? Or read option. No, the West Coast is what Walsh made.
Yeah, that's that. That's
basically came from really out of Cincinnati, if you want to look way back, but that's for the history books.
Okay, but the spread offense is where I think the NFL is heading.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you, passing is what's going on in the NFL.
Well, I understand that.
If you can't pass in the NFL, you ain't going to win.
But we talking about.
Because how many great running backs you got in the NFL outside of Adrian Peterson? Look what Doug Martin doing right now. He shocked everybody last year. But now.
I told you.
Yes, he said this. But I'm just saying, you got to have a passing tech in
the NFL. But this is the thing. You can pass out of both offenses.
Right.
Oh, I agree.
But one is, let me fake the running back. The other one is no huddle like Peyton Manning run. Peyton Manning ain't faking nothing.
I think the no huddle is the way to go.
I think you can use both. I think Philly's offense, and pretty much they're the bell cow right now because we look at them. I mean, you look at RG3, but he's hampered by the knee. But we're looking at Philly because of what my man brought from Oregon into the NFL.
Kelly.
We wanted to see how that would work. But he was dealt in the preseason, well, actually in training camp, he lost two receivers that he was going to count on. and that has limited his offense. They're able to take DeSean Jackson away. So I still don't think you see a true version of what his offense could be, because if you look at it, they're still moving up and down the field.
Right.
They're having problems once they get into the red zone.
But if you look at all the great teams in the NFL, all the good teams, they had that type of offense. Green Bay.
Well, they don't run the read option.
They don't run read
option. What he's talking
about
read options is when the quarterback is putting pressure on
the end,
where he's reading the end to see if he can keep the ball or hand it off.
Right.
And what they're doing now.
But throwing is all the good teams really throw.
Yeah, well,
right.
Throwing.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's fine.
But what Harris is asking, he's asking, are the more conventional quarterbacks, yeah, is that where we're going, or are we going to
Aaron Rodgers is conventional.
Right.
Drew Brees, conventional. Yeah. Peyton Manning, conventional. They sit up and read coverages, and they go speed the game up by not letting you get the defense off the field. So they go call the play at the line. But they are smart enough to call the plays at the line, and they'll run the ball, but they ain't got to fool nobody to do all this. So they going to go down the field just like the sheriff goes down the field every week.
But there's a caveat to that, to me. The sheriff is all by himself with that. I think
– glad you brought that up.
Yeah,
it's coming up next.
He's different.
Okay.
I mean, he's different because he's calling plays and he's making the defense react and he's waiting and just killing people.
Right.
I don't see other quarterbacks to that extent. Now, you see Rodgers, he gets his call in and he may be able to check off and do, but nobody's doing what Peyton is doing.
Right.
I mean, Breeze, to an extent, still, they're not on Peyton's level to me right now. They're good quarterbacks. They're more conventional. But they're still running spread. They're just not running read option.
Right.
Even Peyton ran a version of read option the other day. You know he wasn't going to keep it.
Oh, absolutely.
But he did run a read option where he read the end, but he handed it off.
Yeah, he didn't do that.
The thing with Vic is I don't think Vic reads the defenses. He comes up, you know, he look over to the line, he gets the one play, and he has the option of handing it off. Or running, and he has one read down the field.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have receivers that are getting open right now.
Right.
And that's the problem with them. But if you look at them, I think they're still 1, 2, or 3 in yardage in the NFL.
Right.
They're just, like I said, they're not scoring in the red zone. But they're moving the ball.
Speaking of Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning is here. Everybody else is here.
Right.
Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely.
You agree?
Oh, no doubt about it.
So the questions comes up. If he's that much better than all these quarterbacks, why does he only have one ring?
I just think the pendulum didn't swing in his favor when he had good teams. I mean, just look, Pittsburgh was much better when he was with the Colts.
They were physical with him.
Yeah, they were physical with him. They won. Pittsburgh won 2 championships.
They were physical with his receivers.
That's what the Patriots did. They beat up his receivers.
Right, and I also think so. One team ain't going to dominate the NFL.
Well, his brother got 2 rings.
Yeah, but
and his brother ain't nowhere near.
What did his brother have that he didn't have?
Oh, well, I understand.
He had defense.
Exactly. And that's the point.
That's a parity that's in the NFL, I think. Every 2 years, it's going to swing to somebody. And that's why he could never get but one ring,
well, look,
because the competition was still.
Right. We even saw I think the Patriots was the most prolific offense in the history of the NFL the year that they went, 16-0?
Yeah.
Lost in the Super Bowl?
Lost the Super Bowl, yeah.
Okay.
Random offense.
But the reason they lost in the Super Bowl was why? Because New York hit him in the mouth.
Hit him in the mouth and played defense.
Exactly.
But I think that's why.
If Peyton had that defense, he'd have.
He'd have 4 or 5 rings,
right. That's the point.
So that's why I think it was more imperative in his era when he was there. And like now, it's why I think he can get a ring this year. But I'm going to still stick with Seattle.
But my thing is this, though. So if the quarterback needs defense, then. Why don't the Falcons get defense? I don't even want to get back on that.
Two different mentalities.
Week when I told you that here in Georgia, and the Falcons have always had something, but always missing something.
Right.
You know, peanut butter, no jelly, cereal, no milk. It's always something that they don't have.
Yeah.
You know, and they don't have the defense.
The
car with no gas.
it's
something always missing.
You're right. Speaking of Russell Wilson, this question is probably for you, Slick. You still sticking with Seattle?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to let you go first on this.
Okay.
Is Russell Wilson a glorified game manager?
Yes, he is.
Really?
And being said, he was like that in college. The guy can manage good football IQ. I think that's what hurt a lot of players.
Well, let me explain to the people what game manager is.
Okay.
Game manager is, I won't lose the game, but everything around me that I have helps me win. I'm not going to put up Peyton Manning numbers. I'm not going to put up Drew Brees numbers. I'm not going to be a 300-yard passer, and I'm not going to complete 70% of my passes. But what I can do is manage, make great decisions, have good IQs and things of that nature.
So what you're saying is he's not going to win the game himself.
Right.
Is what you're saying. That's what you mean.
Right.
So he's not going to ever be put in the category with Breeze, Peyton, Rodgers, and those quarterbacks that
can put a team on
their back. Because this is what I think, and I got some stats here.
Okay. Before you get the stats, let me say
But let me just say this. This sounds like an Alabama quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because what Alabama do, right? You said it on the show.
Right.
That they don't have a court. That's
the
weekend.
It's the only place they don't have playmakers.
But you know what? He's about to win 3 rings.
Exactly.
You know, so go say what you're about to say. Then I'm going to read these stats that says that, Slick, you're right. There is some stats that says that he's just a glorified game manager, but why doesn't he get the flack that everybody else does?
Right. Okay.
Steve, let me say one thing before you go.
Ahead, go ahead.
That's why the owner or the personnel, vice president or the person that drafts
right.
is licking their chops now because of what Russell Wilson is doing for the NFL.
Right.
You don't really have to have a cold quarterback to win a championship. If your defense is ranked in the top 5, top 10, and can make stops like what the Falcons don't do, make stops and give him back the ball, Russell Wilson going to find a way to win. He continue drives. He continue plays. He keep the change moving.
Right.
Everybody need that type of quarterback. That's why I think Johnny Manziel is going to fit in the NFL because this guy keeps the change moving.
And what is he to college football?
He's a Little Wayne of college football. You can hate him or love him. Did y'all know Mayweather put $300,000 on Texas A&M this week?
I heard.
And he said, I'm putting my money on Johnny. And Johnny what?
Won.
I'm telling you. It's like that.
Go ahead,
Steve.
My point on Russell Wilson is, you know, I think maybe he is part game manager because he can be. But as we saw in the game this weekend against Houston, he made some plays.
Okay.
And see, that's the thing that I think gets overlooked. I saw him get in the pocket, spin around, keep a play alive, and go for a first down. So those are playmakers. That's not a managing of a game. He came up with critical third down conversions. He hit people that, you know, he made the play stay alive to make, you know, till someone got open, got a first down on a couple of plays. I saw him do things that are within his comfort zone.
Right.
But I think he plays within himself. You know, he looks at he's a bright kid. He tries not to make that bad play.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when things break down, he's capable of making the play. So in that respect, I don't think he's just a game manager. I don't think.
Well, they said glorified. There was just an email that was sent to me to read on the air. Now, this is what it says. Everybody gave Alex Smith all this flack when he was in San Francisco saying that all he is a game manager, right? They gave him a lot of flack saying he wasn't this and that, and then they eventually benched him. But they were still winning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and he was one of the top-rated quarterbacks by numbers
yes.
when it happened. So this is what they're saying. Russell Wilson passes for less than 200 yards a game.
Mm-hmm.
He has a mediocre 61.5 completion rating.
Mm-hmm.
Only 6 touchdown passes thrown through the first 4 games. They played Jacksonville 1 game, so, I mean, kind of pull that out.
Right.
And they say if you take the Jacksonville game out, his completion rating would only be 56%. And his quarterback rating will be 39%.
Mm-hmm.
If you leave Jacksonville in there, his quarterback rating is 77%. So those are just facts and stats.
Right.
And Everybody got their own opinion about it. You know, they 4-0. Really can't nobody say anything.
But why would you, if I am the head coach of that football team, I'm not going to let him go and do things to put my team in a bad situation. He's still a young quarterback. He plays within his strengths.
Right.
When it was time to make plays, he made plays. That's my point. I think he's capable of making plays.
Right.
But the way their team is structured, defense is the first option on their team.
I agree.
And you have beast mode in the backfield.
Yes, sir.
So you play to your strengths.
Play to
just
your
like
strength.
Alabama plays to their strengths. So if he's a game manager, I could see that. But like I said, if you but watch the game.
Glorified means that, just like what you said, he make plays when he need to make plays, and it's not really all on his shoulders and things of that nature. So, so basically, glorified game manager is not a bad thing, because again, that slick Super Bowl pick to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
But don't a lot of teams wish they had Russell Wilson now?
This is what a lot of teams miss on, though. They try to make their quarterback more than what they are. Instead of building, he is what he is. So build around what he is. Stop trying to make him be what he's not, because then you're gonna detour the whole team away. Because in my opinion, just like the Saints, that when they cut that head off last year, they was 0-4.
Right.
When he got back,
you see what's happening.
You see what's going on. So it is what it is. So I mean, that and when you have those things, and I think Seattle is a perfect example of they have the players that they have, and they respect, and they just let them do what they do, and we're going to just build around all of what Russell Wilson is, and that's why they are 4-0.
Yeah,
basically. That's why they 4-0.
So. And I heard something before you move. It was something that was said the other day about all the young quarterbacks. And the question was asked about which one do you see as the better one between Russell Wilson, RG3, Kaepernick, and my man in Indianapolis.
Luck.
And just to take, I'm not going to hold on. The answer was that it was Luck that you felt more comfortable with. And the reason is because he's doing everything within his comfort zone. See, he plays a style of football the same way he's played, you know, college. He's still in a pro system.
Yep.
So it's nothing that he had to adapt to. But you got RG3 now who can't move the way he used to move. So now he's having to take his game to a more conventional style of football. The same thing with Kaepernick. Since they've taken the read option away, he's now having to stay in the pocket more. So he's not doing the same type things that were natural. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But when you look at Luck, it's still natural. Same thing with Russell Wilson. The read option is being taken away.
Right, I got you.
So now you got to play more quarterback. And they say, out of the four, which one do you feel more comfortable with right now? And once I looked at it and once it's made that point, that's a true point.
Yeah.
He's playing the same way. He didn't have to change. He's not adapting. They're having to adapt.
He even got his offensive coordinator from college.
Right. So, that's
But they're not going to win because they don't have no defense.
No, I'm not saying they're going to win.
Right.
But we're talking about more comfortable.
Well, Russell's going to win because he got a defense.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you look at whose offense is going to be more potent or more that you might fear, because if you try to take the run away from this boy, he can beat you with the pass. I'm not sure Russell can beat you with the pass yet. You see what I'm saying? Now this boy got Trent. He got Trent Richardson. He can turn around and hand the ball to 20 times a game. So now you got to honor that. Safety's got to come down the box to help.
Right.
And he got receivers he can hit.
Yeah, but I think Seattle's defense is going to put them in short field. Russell don't have to do as much to get victories.
Well, we're going to see more about Indianapolis, because to me, they had an impressive win a week ago.
That was impressive, yeah.
And their defense beat the hell out of them.
But what Seattle do a couple weeks before that? I mean, just slap San Francisco Rams.
But they struggle on the road every week.
But they done that last year.
That's my point.
Seattle always struggle. But I'm telling you,
they 3-0 on the road the last three games.
Yeah, all right, but I'm just trying to tell you.
They won by the skin of their teeth. They barely got out in Carolina.
Good teams do that.
They had a brain fart to win this Saturday, this Sunday.
But Steve, it's still a win, though.
It's a win. I'm not knocking that. But I'm telling you, pro quarterbacks don't do what Matt Schaub does.
That might be the reason Houston won't win.
It's Matt Schaub.
But I promise you this here. If you don't stop Seattle from getting home field advantage, they go in the Super Bowl. You're not going to go up there and beat them in Seattle.
All right, let's go on to this Jordan comment about
players he would like to play one-on-one.
Players he would like to play one-on-one with, and we're going to have to be very, very quick with this. He mentioned LeBron,
Kobe, Melo, Jerry West.
Yeah, Jerry West was first, he said.
And I think it was one other, but I can't remember who it was.
You see, you know, even though we're on this Jordan conversation, to me, we live in a society that you really can't say nothing negative about Jordan.
You can't. But that's what drives this type of conversation. And that's what makes it good.
Right, okay.
Because it never be, we can't see it.
Right, I understand that. But Jordan can't do no wrong. I don't care if he's 100 years old or he's 18. And it's not fair to other great players because really Mike shaped the love for NBA.
Right.
I liked it NBA, but I loved it when Mike played.
Right.
But some other guys were just as good. And like I said, we'll never see them guys play one another. But I would have loved to see Mike try to stick Kobe, Iverson.
But we're talking about one-on-one. We're not talking about the game situation. This is just
one-on-one.
Not a game. This just but the blacktop.
They never did that anyway, did they?
Yeah, they used to play a one-on-one game back in the day. Remember at halftime they used to play that. But what I'm saying is,
they had a problem playing Julius, to be honest.
True enough. He didn't mention Doc.
No, well, yeah,
he didn't mention
probably
that.
For a reason.
And he had trouble paying Magic. Being Magic so big, Shaq is big.
Yeah,
all he can do is try to retrain.
We talking about
wing players.
Yeah. Now the thing about it is, and the reason that a lot of people were saying that Jordan is the best, and you can always get that, is because in six tries, in six title appearances, he won all six, and he was MVP. You can't say that for Kobe. You can't say that for LeBron. You can't say that for Melo. You can't say it for anybody else that he named on a one-on-one. And that's one criteria that they can't take away from him. I saw Jordan play from North Carolina when he hit the shot with his tongue out on the wing against Georgetown. I saw him play in college all those years. I saw him play all those years with the Bulls, go, leave, come back. Jordan was a beast.
He was, Steve, but you know what's funny?
He was a beast.
It was really funny, though. It's all about the era that you play in. I looked at that NBA game against Utah. Utah was horrible, man.
Well,
this is what I'm trying to tell you, Steve. They were slow like dinosaurs. Steve, when I watched that game, Hornacek, Russell. Hold on. Listen, what I'm trying to tell you. Let me finish before you make your comment.
Go ahead.
Hornacek, Russell was trying to stick Michael. Hornacek and Russell ain't going to stick Kobe. They ain't going to stick LeBron. They ain't going to stick none of them dudes.
Who?
It's just their era. And then I looked
at... on San Antonio going to stick LeBron?
But
who on Dallas could stick LeBron?
Let me finish, Steve, what I'm trying to say. Then you know what I'm talking about. Host the tag. The big guys now are unbelievable in the NBA. Most of them are, Steve.
No big guys in the NBA.
Back then, none of them big guys were awesome.
They were more fundamentally sound back then.
Let the center do what he wanted in the paint.
But they don't, the centers, ain't no centers now.
It's a zone now.
But ain't no centers. I mean,
I noticed, Steve, because the game is much faster. That's why they got rid of all that. It's more up-tempo, more fast. We want to see Jordan at every position.
Because
they sell tickets.
But we see LeBron at every position now because he's bigger. He's bigger than Bill Russell. When he got the championship trophy last year, he was looking down on Bill Russell. So you got a guy that got all of Jordan's tools and is bigger than the most dominant center of his era. Bill Russell was the most dominant center of his era.
Yeah.
And LeBron looks down on him. And he handles the ball. Now, I'm not saying... Don't get me wrong to saying that I think Jordan could beat them, because I'm not. I think Kobe could play him. The point was what he said.
He said
because he's so arrogant, Steve. He can say those type of comments. But I got six championships. I can say it.
You know what his last? They said that about him, not him.
Okay.
His last comment was the only one he think that might beat him is Kobe because he stole all his moves.
Okay, that's fair.
That was the key. I mean,
that's fair.
Yeah, did he steal all his moves? Kobe could play.
Absolutely.
Oh, did you see? Did you see? I saw the tape.
Him. You thought it was an image of each other. Yeah.
Now we on the same.
But Kobe is intelligent. And he did the right thing. If you're going to follow somebody, that's the man you need to follow.
And I think LeBron would give him all he want. Don't get me wrong. I think LeBron would give him all he want.
Well, let me ask you something. If we can follow the footprint of Warren Buffett, would y'all do it? You know who Warren Buffett is, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so if we can follow his footprint. Why not follow him?
I'll follow the footprint of somebody got a scratch off $1 million teeth. I don't give a that go.
I'm a computer guy, so I'm going to follow Bill Gates.
That's my point,
I'm going to follow you right now to the 7-Eleven and get that scratch off.
If you can follow somebody good and emulate them and do exactly what they do, chances are you're going to be successful.
Absolutely. All right, fella, let's move on to the best game going on in the world. $1 million questions. Y'all ready for
this? Let's do it.
Slick, you ready for that?
I'm ready, man. Let's do this. That's fun. I like that.
You like that? All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got the $1 million questions. And please join us in answering all these questions with us. You know, just listen and join in and see what you think about it and answer along with it. Who want to go first?
I guess I go first since my name is a piece of paper. Yeah, let's
there
do
you go.
It. Yeah, let's go all first. Right,
there we go.
That's stumbling bumbling. Let's let go.
Oh, Slick, you like that? All right, of course, when I start reading, then the clock starts. All right.
Okay.
Ready? Who has a better team, Stanford or Oregon?
Stanford.
Will Lane Kiffin get another job?
Yes.
Would you take James Harden or Dwayne Wade?
D-Wade. A younger D-Wade.
Did Kobe steal Michael moves?
Absolutely. He should have.
Kim K or Beyonce?
Say that again.
Kim K or Beyonce?
I'll be.
Okay. All right, Snake. Good job. That was good. All the way B.
All the way B. When she's spinning with Jay-Z, we still take B. Before and after. You got to take B anytime.
Oh, boy. That was all right. All right, Hancock, you ready?
Let's do it.
I'll start reading. Go for it. Who would you take first? Magic, Jordan, or Russell?
Magic Johnson.
Who would you choose between who would you choose to be your quarterback in cold weather?
Right now?
Right now.
Eli Manning.
Best running back of all time.
OJ Simpson. That was my bad growing up.
Curry, Kyrie Irving, D. Will, or Rose? Who's better?
Kyrie Irving.
My man, Gabrielle or Kelly Rowland?
Gabrielle Union, baby. Gabrielle Union.
I agree. Kelly's sexy, though.
See it?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, Miss Kelly, nice.
Okay.
But Gabby, Lord.
Yeah.
Stay off the chain.
Yeah.
All right, fella. That was all right, though. Slick, your girl didn't get no love.
Who's
Kelly? That? Kelly.
She didn't?
You answered that pretty quick.
Well, I mean, she's nice. She's, you know, for her size and everything. Oh, look who had the door.
Uh-oh.
Who had that, Slick?
As if Mighty Dog. They let the dogs out.
You still didn't give them their shots?
No, we don't get a dog in shots. Kids don't try to play with those dogs.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mighty Dog Picks of the Week coming up. Last week, I went 2-3. My lock won, though, so please pay attention to that. Hancock, you went
2-2.
Two ties. I went 3-2.
3-2.
Yeah.
So Slick went 3-2. Slick going first with his picks. So everybody grab a pen and paper.
Do I get some music?
That gets me hyped. I had something for you today.
Yeah, please. I got to have my music to get my picks, get my mind right.
Let me see what it
is. I'm like that midget. Give me some loud, Steve. Where the loud at?
Hold on, I had something for you.
Yeah, please find it.
Hold on.
Where my stash at? Steve, we're looking for the stash. Looking up on the sofa.
Hold on, Slick, I got you. Oh, there we go.
Bobby Brown said it wasn't much marijuana.
There we go.
Maybe a joint.
You'll like this, Slick.
Let's do it.
Hey. Yeah. You like that?
Let's yes, I it. Do. Vegas, here we come. We and Steve and Harvest catching a ride, a red eye.
So we're going to get that hoopty, baby.
Yes. We're catching a ride out here now to Vegas to put some money on these picks. Are we ready?
Let's go.
Let's do it. Okay. First pick, we're going in college, NCAA football. We're going down to Virginia where the Cavaliers play. Is that Charlottesville?
Charlottesville.
Charlottesville, okay. Well, Charlottesville, they welcome Ball State into town. I like Ball State plus the 6. Against Virginia. Cavaliers struggle with those MEAC-type teams, and I think this is an easy one. I won't be surprised if Ball State go in and beat them, and you're going to give me 6. Thank you.
There you go.
Now I'm going to jump to my second pick. We're going down to the great NFL where they make plenty of paper. My second pick, this team cost me some money last week, so I got to go back with them this week. The Baltimore Ravens are going to Miami. And Miami just came off Monday night. I'm thinking Baltimore gets a win, and they're getting 3 along with that. So take the Ravens plus 3. Coming off a loss, I think they'll bounce back. Miami have a short week, and the Ravens should be waiting on them. So take the Ravens plus 3.
Gotcha.
Pick number 3. I'm staying in the cold, cold city. I'm going with another team that cost me money last week. We're going back for the revenge factor. I'm going with the Chicago Bears to upset the Saints. Mm-hmm. See, something wrong with that spread anyway. Why is Chicago getting 1 point at home where they should be getting 3 or 7? So the book is letting you know now to be ready for this one. Chicago's at home upsets the Saints. And the Saints go to 4-1. So take the Chicago Bears plus 1 at home. Game 4. How can the Patriots get any point? Really? Okay. You going to give me New England Patriots some points? So I'm taking the Patriots plus 1. I want to say they're going to Cincinnati. Yeah. Just left Atlanta and left the boys in Atlanta crying. So they finna go to Cincinnati and let them cry a little bit too. So take the Bengals. Take the Patriots plus the 1 for my 4th pick. And for the 5th pick, which is the mighty what?
Dog.
Mighty dog pick. Give me some dog. They're having the dogs barking.
Yeah, I'm trying to
they
find
sleep. Them. We can wake them up. Turn that porch light on. If you turn that porch light on, they're going to come running to the door. There you go. How you boys doing tonight? All right, Smokey. Chill out now. Be careful out there, boy. Watch the yard for me. My mighty dog pick, I think I only lost one mighty dog pick in 5 or 6 weeks. I had 4 cover straight out wins, 1 push, so I only lost one mighty dog. And I'm going to go, oh, yes, sir, they sounded good, boy. They're getting a steak right now, boy. Put that gunpowder on that dog. You always put gunpowder in their food? What you talking about? This is going to shock y'all. We're going back in college. This is going to shock y'all. I'm taking the Maryland Terrapins plus 17 against Steve Florida State Seminoles. I don't think Maryland going to win the game, but I love the fact that you're giving me 17 points. Maryland is a much improved team, so that's my mighty dog pick. Take Maryland, going to Tallahassee, getting 17, going to be a great game. I think Florida State should win, but I do like Maryland, Terps, and the points. So you got my picks for this week, and I guess we're going to give it to Harvest now.
Yeah, I go next. Well, I don't need no music. No dog barking. I'm a roll with my Church of Chicken top 4 picks.
Yes, sir. 3-piece.
Yes, sir. Let me see. Of course, I'm a college guy, so I'm going to stay in the college ranks. My first pick, and I don't know why we've been slipping on this team all year. I'm going with the Baylor Bears, minus 28 versus West Virginia. West Virginia calls a lot of heartaches and some folks some money last week. I think they're going to have a letdown. Baylor Bears averaging 60 points a game.
Okay.
My second pick, I am going with South Alabama versus Troy plus the 4. South Alabama plus 4 against Troy. Troy came off for a loss against Duke last week, so I think South Alabama got something for him. My third pick is I'm with Slick, taking Ball State plus the 6 versus Virginia. Think Ball State, I've been riding with them for the last couple of years. So I'm going to stay with the old faithful. And my fourth pick, this one just came up out of nowhere. Bowling Green minus 25 against UMass. UMass is a IT school. Ain't nobody playing no football in UMass. So I think I'm going to take Bowling Green minus the 25 against UMass. Should be a blowout. They should win by 40. And let me get my drum roll ready. Yes, sir. The Big Hole Say the Kids Pick of the Week. There we go. Where my drum roll at? There we go. Northern Illinois minus 9 against Kent State. I love it. And none of my locks has lost this year, so you may want to stay encouraged.
There you go.
Stay encouraged.
That's what's up.
Hancock is on you, baby.
All right. Let's do this. My first pick, I'm going to go down to the plains of Auburn, Alabama. We're going to take the Auburn War Eagle Tigers, whatever you want to call them this week, plus the 3. And they're playing the
Rebels. Ole Miss
will be coming off that loss they had with the mighty Alabama Tide last week. I think they'll kind of be a little down this week. So I'm looking for Auburn to come through. Next pick. Staying in college, we're going to take the Northwestern Wildcats down in Evanston, Illinois, I believe. I don't know where they're playing this week. I think they're playing the other site. But they got Ohio State coming in. I'll take Northwestern at home plus the 7.
I think this is Chicago Stadium.
Yeah, I thought they were playing away from home. Next pick, I'll go into the NFL. We're going to take the Green Bay Packers coming off a bye, giving the 7 to the Detroit Lions, who coming off a big win with the Chicago Bears. So I don't know if they can – I don't think they're an outdoor team really that much out there on the grass. I think Reggie Bush will be contained, which would kind of go against my fantasy, but still. I'll take Green Bay at home, giving the 7. Harris and I both like the Bowling Green pick. I had said that, but I'm not going to take it because I just want to be different, be against him. Not against him, but I'm going to give you something else. I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills plus the 4. In the NFL.
Who are they playing?
They're getting 4 with, I just wrote after I saw it, I forgot who they were playing. Let me go back to that.
Cleveland
Browns.
Oh, yeah. They're going to Cleveland.
Yeah, Buffalo getting 4 on the road. Sorry about that.
That's okay. We good.
And for the Buttonim Fashion Pick of the Week.
You won that last week, right?
Yeah. Okay, Buttonim. It's Buddy them
sign the back for another week.
Yeah.
Okay.
You need a drum roll over there?
No, they gave me a couple of DVDs. And they paid me well. Mama got a knockoff purse, so we did good. Buddy them came through for me. So I'm going to keep it rolling this week. We're going to go back with the sheriff. We'll go ride that well one more time. We're going to take the Denver Broncos, Dallas Cowboys over 56. Peyton should give me at least 40. The sheriff, you know, like I said, when it's high noon, baby, you're going to lose that gunfight. So for the Buttonim Fashion Pick of the Week, we'll have the Denver Broncos, Dallas Cowboys over 56.
That's the total score for both teams. It has to be over 56. So to recap, Slick got Ball State plus 6, the Ravens plus 3, Bears plus 1, Patriots plus 1. And his mighty dog is Maryland plus the 17 versus Florida State. Myself, I'm going with Baylor minus the 28, South Alabama plus 4, Ball State along with Slick plus 6 against Virginia, Bowling Green against UMass minus the 25, and I take my Big Hole Say the Kids, Northern Illinois minus 9 against Kent State. And Hancock has Auburn plus 3, Northwestern plus 7, Green Bay minus the 7, and the Buffalo Bills plus the 4. And it's Bud and Them Fashion. Pick of the week, over 300 locations. Denver versus Dallas over the 56.
Bud and Them said, do not try to find them. They'll find you at their locations. They'll be on the move again, like I said, all throughout the weekend. So for all your needs, all your bootleg needs, find Bud and Them Fashions.
There you go. They'll find you. All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's about that time. About to get up out this penthouse. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Sports Roundtable. Got to give a shout out to my main man, my cousin, Jay Myrick, Jay's Used Cars. He put me all the way in the game, baby. So anybody need a car, please contact jaysusedcars.com, 770-496-0339. Tell him you want the Sports Roundtable hookup. Guaranteed, baby. You in the house. Shout out to my man, Young Money, again, for doing the logo for me. Thanks, Rasan. Anybody else got some shout out?
Yeah, I got a shout out. I'm piggybacking off car lots. So if you can't get a car from Jay's Used Cars, go to Drive Time. That's where my favorite nephew works. Drive Time.
There you
if
go.
Can't get a car, Jay's Used Car. Interest too high, too low. Go see Jay. Ask for Jay Smith, Miss Branch. They'll put you in something nice and shiny.
Nice and shiny.
Yes, sir. What's up, Jay? Drive Time. West Avenue.
There you go. Steve, no shout out?
Shout out to all the boys back home again. Like I said, keep listening. Keep pumping the show. Let everybody know. M-Town, Memphis, baby.
Yes, sir.
Memphis 10.
We're about to head out this penthouse.
Ooh.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
Yeah, thank you, guys. God is good. We'll see you guys next week.
Yes, sir. BC, thanks for everything. I know you're looking out for your boy. And from Slick, HM3, Hancock,
your boys,
we are out of here.
Peace.
Peace.